This is Tennessee State District 46, Representative Clark Boyd's legislative update for March 13th, 2026. I was happy to meet with members of the Wilson County 4-H Club and Centerstone, who provides a wide range of mental health and addiction treatments for adults, children, families, veterans, and military. A group from the TN Land Title Association provided helpful information and updates, and a special highlight was meeting Lara Trump at the Liberty Reception, celebrating 250 years of America and hosted by Americans for Prosperity. Representatives of the March of Dimes discussed ways to improve the health of mothers and babies, and members of the court-appointed special advocates from Wilson County also visited with me. A group from the TN Land Title Association provided helpful information and updates, and a special highlight was meeting Lara Trump at the Liberty Reception, celebrating 250 years of America and hosted by Americans for Prosperity. Greetings from the Capitol. My first piece of legislation for this year passed on Monday evening. HB 2108 seeks to place limitations on a practice known as third-party litigation financing. This practice usually involves third-party entities, including sovereign wealth funds from foreign adversaries, that invest in court cases. Oftentimes, the investor involved makes decisions resulting in more money going to the third-party investor from the settlement than the plaintiff receives. Upon Governor Lee's signature, this legislation will limit this practice in the future. On Tuesday, I enjoyed visiting with many constituent groups, including folks at Centerstone, local road builders, and volunteer firefighters. I also got to meet the daughter-in-law of President Trump, Lara Trump, while she was in Nashville as part of a celebration of America's semi-quincentennial anniversary. Wednesday was particularly eventful as I presented 10 bills across various committees. My one fun bill that I'm running this year designates the cast iron skillet as the official frontier cookware of Tennessee. It passed out of the state and local government committee and will be up for a vote on the House floor in a few weeks. Seeking fair representation for utilities. Legislation advancing in the House and Senate aims to ensure fair representation for customers of municipally owned electric utilities. House Bill 2418 by House Majority Whip Clark Boyd, R. Lebanon, requires all city-owned electric utilities in Tennessee to give customers living in counties outside municipal boundaries a voting seat in the utility's governing board for the county they serve. Customers who live outside city limits pay the same electric bill rates and endure the same outages as those inside the city, yet have zero say on the board that governs their utility, Boyd said. Unfortunately, January's storm exposed this inequity. This legislation levels the playing field for all Tennesseans who rely on municipal utilities. When every ratepayer has representation, we strengthen accountability, improve service, and build a more reliable grid for everyone. Boyd introduced the bill following the devastating impacts of Winter Storm Fern in late January, which brought heavy snow, ice, and freezing temperatures to Tennessee. Notably, the storm caused one of the most severe power outages in Nashville Electric Service history, resulting in widespread disruptions across the region and affecting approximately 230,000 customers. The outages left many families without electricity for days, with some areas enduring outages lasting nearly 2 weeks amid ongoing restoration challenges. NES serves all of Davidson County, plus portions of six surrounding counties: Wilson, Rutherford, Williamson, Cheatham, Robertson, and Sumner. Currently, NES's five-member board is appointed exclusively by the mayor of Nashville. House Bill 2418 proposes to require an electric utility company to add at least one new voting board member from each outside county. The board member would be appointed by the county mayor for a four-year term, with optional initial two-year staggered terms. The new board members may not be city employees and would receive no municipal benefits. House Bill 2418 is expected to be heard in the Cities and County Subcommittee on March 18th. Pushing to end sanctuary courts. Legislation to ensure all Tennessee courts cooperate with federal immigration agencies advanced out of the Civil Justice Subcommittee this week. House Bill 1707, sponsored by State Rep. Rick Scarborough, R. Oak Ridge, would require Tennessee courts to cooperate with the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and other federal immigration authorities when they are enforcing immigration law. If a judge obstructs or interferes with federal immigration enforcement actions, the judge can be referred to the Tennessee Board of Judicial Conduct. If misconduct is found, it could lead to disciplinary action or removal from office under the Tennessee Constitution. This bill makes it clear Tennessee courts must stand in line with federal immigration enforcement, or judges may face disciplinary action, Scarborough told committee members this week. House Bill 1707 is part of a comprehensive illegal immigration legislative package proposed by Tennessee Republicans to enforce existing laws, protect taxpayers, and close sanctuary loopholes. The proposal is expected to be heard in the Judiciary Committee on March 18th. Greenbelt Initiative Fund Transfer Act supports rural counties. The Greenbelt Initiative Fund Transfer Act, or House Bill 2375, sponsored by State Rep. Clay Doggett, R. Pulaski, would create a $210 million Rural Revenue Equity Fund to support various services and projects in eligible rural communities. The program seeks to offset property tax revenue losses in counties with high percentages of Greenbelt classified property, which are taxed on use value rather than market value. Rural counties often have significantly higher percentages of land classified as Greenbelt, which limits local tax revenue needed for essential services, said Doggett. The GIFT Act will support these communities communities by allocating additional funding to benefit vital projects while recognizing the families and farms that make a volunteer state unique. Funding from the Rural Revenue Equity Fund could be used for law enforcement, firefighter, and emergency medical services, property tax stabilization, and capital improvement and infrastructure projects. The proposal requires the state treasurer to invest the fund's assets, with all interest credited to the fund. Rural counties would be awarded funding based on a total weighted score that considers its percentage of total land under Greenbelt, total acres of land in Greenbelt, annual agricultural sales or taxable agricultural receipts, whether the county has statutory authority to levy a development tax or impact fee, the number of economic outputs of licensed livestock or dairy farms, population, and if the county adopted a property tax increase during the preceding 5 years. Counties with 70% or more of land classified under Greenbelt will receive the highest scores. Currently, at least 26 counties across the state meet this criterion, while approximately 51 counties are qualified as rural and would be eligible for the grant. House Bill 2375 is expected to be heard in the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee on March 17th. Proposal aims to deter, reduce distracted driving. A new proposal would improve safety on Tennessee roads by strengthening penalties for texting while driving. House Bill 1555, sponsored by State Rep. William Slater R. Gallatin, will improve consistency in Tennessee law by increasing the maximum allowable local court costs for violations of Tennessee's hands-free law from $10 to 50% of the standard fees imposed for other moving violations, a range of roughly $37 to $70 in court costs, depending on jurisdiction. No text, email, or social media notification is worth a life, and I'm hopeful this proposal encourages drivers to put the phone down and keep their focus where it belongs, said Slater. It's illegal under Tennessee law to hold a cell phone, send or read text messages, move out of the seated driving position while reaching for a phone, watch a video or record while driving. Violations constitute a Class C misdemeanor with a maximum fine of $50 on the first offense plus $10 in court costs. Revenue from this measure would benefit several funds, including the Sex Offender Treatment Fund, Victims of Crime Assistance Fund, Victims of Drunk Drivers Compensation Fund, and the Civil Legal Representation of Indigents Fund, among others. House Bill 1555 is expected to be heard for consideration in the Finance, Ways and Means Committee on March 17th. Bill seeks to increase oversight of out-of-state nursing programs, a proposal aimed at strengthening oversight of out-of-state nursing education programs advanced in the House this week. The Tennessee Nursing Education Integrity and Oversight Act, sponsored by Health Committee Chairman Brian Terry R. Murfreesboro, would place a 2-year pause on approving new out-of-state nursing education programs that want to operate, enroll students, or place students in clinical training in Tennessee. The Tennessee Nurses Association, a growing number of out-of-state nursing programs placing students in Tennessee clinical sites, which appear to not have sufficient oversight, standardized reporting, or clear accountability mechanisms, Terry told the Health Subcommittee on Wednesday. The goal is not to limit workforce growth. Its goal is to ensure quality, transparency, and patient safety. The proposal would give the state time to review oversight standards and improve monitoring of nursing programs, particularly those based outside Tennessee, that send students to the state for training. During the pause, existing out-of-state programs already approved may continue operating, but must provide data to state regulators about student placements, outcomes, and clinical supervision. Accredited out-of-state nurse anesthesia programs are exempt. The bill also directs the Tennessee Center for Nursing Advancement and the Tennessee Board of Nursing to develop stronger approval standards and reporting requirements for out-of-state programs. House Bill 1905 is expected to be heard in the Health Committee on March 17th. Stronger protections for pregnancy centers advances. A proposal would protect the ability of Tennessee women to seek life-saving maternal care by strengthening penalties for arson in pregnancy resource centers. House Bill 2260 by State Rep. Greg Martin R. Hickson elevates the offense from a Class C felony to a Class B felony to reflect the serious threat such crimes pose to public safety and community well-being. The proposal provides a clear statutory definition of a pregnancy resource center, ensuring these facilities are explicitly protected under state law and eliminating ambiguity in enforcement. The definition includes nonprofit organizations that provide counseling, material support, medical assistance, and other resources to women and families facing unexpected or difficult pregnancies. These facilities serve as lifelines for women and their families during some of the most vulnerable moments in their lives, and they deserve clear and consistent protection under the law, Martin said. Attacks on pregnancy centers increased around the nation following the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade on June 24, 2022. The High Court's ruling in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization triggered laws in 21 states, including Tennessee, either banning or restricting abortions. House Bill 2260 is expected to be heard in the House Judiciary Committee on March 18th. Caring for Caregivers Act advances. Legislation to support families caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's and related dementia advanced out of the Government Operations Committee this week. The Caring for Caregivers Act, sponsored by State Rep. Renea Jones, R. Unicoi, creates a 3-year pilot grant program to help caregivers with lost wages and expenses related to caring for their family member. Families across Tennessee are making incredible sacrifices to ensure their loved ones can remain at home and receive compassionate care, Jones said. This legislation seeks to ease the financial pressure caregivers often face and help them continue providing care at home. Nearly 12 million Americans provide unpaid care for a family member or friend with dementia, a contribution to the nation valued at more than $413 billion, according to a 2025 report by the Alzheimer's Association. Participants must be caring for a family member with Alzheimer's or related dementia who needs help with at least two necessary daily tasks, including walking or bathing, and live in a private residence. Priority is given to lower-income families whose household income falls at or below the median income for their area. Eligible expenses include home accessibility modifications, medical equipment or assistive technology, respite care and medical supplies like diapers or specialized bedding. The proposal requests $600,000 for the first year of the program to be split evenly among grantees in the three regions of Tennessee. If passed, the program would be available from July 1st, 2026 to March 31st, 2029. House Bill 1443 is expected to be heard in the Finance, Ways and Means Subcommittee on March 18th. Measure expands child safety background checks in schools. A proposal to strengthen background checks for new hires at Tennessee charter and private schools advanced out of the Education Committee this week. House Bill 2475, sponsored by State Rep. Rebecca Alexander, R. Jonesboro, requires charter schools and private schools to check new hires against the Tennessee Department of Children's Services records for any reports of child abuse or threats to children, just like public schools already do. It would also allow after-school programs like Head Start and the Boys and Girls Club to check their new hires and volunteers. This legislation follows a situation in Hamilton County where a former public school teacher was hired by a charter school while under investigation for sending inappropriate messages to students. The teacher was recently sentenced to nearly 19 years in federal prison. We want to make sure somebody doesn't leave a public school and go to private school and do the same offenses that they got fired for in the public school, Alexander told committee members. If passed, potential employees of any public, charter, or private school in Tennessee must go through a criminal background check, including the sex offender registry and DCS records. House Bill 2475 is expected to be heard in the Government Operations Committee on March 16th. Restoring state sovereignty through Nullification Act advances, a proposal that seeks to preserve the separation of powers and states' rights advanced out of the Public Service Subcommittee this week. The Restoring State Sovereignty Through Nullification Act, or House Bill 2610, sponsored by State Rep. Bud Hulsey, R. Kingsport, would create rules, actions, and guidelines for the state to nullify an unconstitutional federal action as void and unenforceable in Tennessee. When Congress passes a law that lines up with the Constitution, that is the supreme law of the land, Hulsey told members of the Public Service Subcommittee. But what do you do when Congress passes a law or an executive order comes out of the executive branch of government that is not constitutional? That's the problem. How does a state deal with that? Hulsey's proposal allows several entities to bring forth a proposed bill or ruling of nullification against a federal action, including the Tennessee governor through executive authority, members of the Tennessee General Assembly if approved by the body, any court operating under the Tennessee Constitution if it has proper venue and jurisdiction, any combination of 10 counties and municipalities governing bodies if approved by the General Assembly, or a signed petition of 2,000 registered voters if approved by the General Assembly. House Bill 2610 defines an unconstitutional federal action as one implemented or adopted without authority specifically delegated to the federal government by the people and the states through the Constitution. Public funds in any state or local officer, holder, agency, or government employee could not be used to assist in the enforcement of any federal action deemed void by the state, according to the bill. Any federal action could be considered, including those already in place. The proposal will be heard in the State and Local Government Committee on March 18th. Briefly, child trafficking prevention. The House on Monday passed House Bill 1527, sponsored by State Rep. Jake McCallum and R. Franklin, to require school districts to provide age and developmentally appropriate child trafficking prevention and awareness education as part of health education from kindergarten through 12th grade. House Bill 1527 allows qualified healthcare professionals or social workers to assist with instruction. The companion version of the proposal is still advancing through the Senate Children's Services Investigations. House Bill 1734, sponsored by State Rep. Deborah Moody, R. Covington, requires the Tennessee Department of Children's Services to record testimonies from minors by video or audio during an investigation involving child abuse, dependency, or neglect. The proposed legislation would limit the significant emotional damage and psychological trauma children often endure when required to repeat traumatic events during an investigation. House Bill 1734 will be heard for consideration in the House Judiciary Committee on March 18th, protecting 2A rights for renters. The General Assembly approved legislation this week ensuring landlords cannot ban Tennesseans from legally possessing firearms or ammunition in their rental homes. House Bill 469, sponsored by State Rep. Lee Reeves, R. Franklin, protects a tenant's right to legally carry and store a firearm inside a rental unit in a vehicle parked at the residence and while directly entering or exiting those locations through hallways, parking lots, or other common areas. Landlords may require firearms to be concealed, holstered, or stored in a carrying container when moving through shared spaces. If a landlord violates these protections, a tenant may pursue civil action. The bill also protects landlords from civil liability solely for complying with the law. The legislation does not apply to healthcare facilities, mental health facilities, certain senior living centers, or schools. The bill now heads to Gov. Billy's desk for his signature, AID fakes. The General Assembly this week passed a proposal to promote transparency and accountability in political campaign advertisements. The Transparency for Deepfakes in Political Advertising Act, sponsored by Deputy Speaker Jason Zachary, R. Knoxville, requires a disclosure if an audio or video ad falsely depicts a candidate's speech or actions, commonly referred to as a deepfake. Failure to provide a disclaimer could result in a Class C misdemeanor. Broadcasters, hosts, third-party producers, and carriers of the communication could not be held liable unless they are responsible for creating the content. House Bill 1513 now heads to Gov. Bill Lee's desk to be signed into law. Employment protections. House Bill 562, sponsored by State Rep. Monty Fritz, R. Kingston, would prohibit state and local officials from shutting down lawful businesses or occupations by labeling them non-essential during a state of emergency. This legislation stems from shutdowns across the country during the COVID-19 pandemic. The proposal would allow for the removal of local officials who violate the law, and those officials would be ineligible to run for the same office for 5 years. If the governor were to violate the law, a person harmed by the order could sue for damages and legal costs. House Bill 562 is expected to be heard in the House chamber in the coming weeks. Energy freedom. Lawmakers on Thursday passed the Tennessee Energy Freedom Act, sponsored by State Rep. Chris Todd, R. Madison County. The proposal ensures that Tennesseans have the right to engage in and invest in companies involved in certain activities related to coal, oil, and natural gas. House Bill 2070 prohibits government or private parties from bringing an action to impose liability for covered emissions from covered activities, including exploration, production, transportation, sale, manufacture, refinement, combustion, or other use of a specified energy source. The companion version of the legislation is still advancing through the Senate. Hunter education. Students across Tennessee could soon receive hunter education courses as part of physical education, health, or safety instruction. House Bill 2588, sponsored by State Rep. Chris Todd, R. Madison County, allows public schools to offer hunting courses for students in grades 5 through 12. The Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency would approve the curriculum to ensure consistency with established hunter safety standards. The bill passed unanimously in the House and Senate chambers and now heads to Gov. Bill Lee's desk for his signature, protecting public funds. The House of Representatives on Thursday passed legislation to prevent the use of public funds to subsidize gender transition procedures. House Bill 2498, sponsored by State Rep. Kip Capley, R. Summertown, will prohibit TennCare from providing coverage or reimbursement for procedures that would enable a person to identify as the opposite sex or treat purported discomfort based on a person's biological sex. The proposal does not apply to congenital defects, precocious puberty, disease, or physical injury. The companion version of House Bill 2498 is still moving through the Senate. College professor tenure. The House this week passed House Bill 2194, sponsored by Deputy Speaker Jason Zachary, R. Knoxville, to require each Board of Regents of public institutions of higher education in Tennessee to adopt and implement new policies to ensure that the rewarding, denial, or revocation of tenure is not used as a form of discipline. Disciplinary actions could not alter or suspend a faculty member's tenure status, except as provided for by institutional policy after due process, according to the bill. It also ensures uniform disciplinary procedures for tenured and non-tenured faculty. Chancellors, the Board of Regents, and Chief Executive Officers would have sole discretion over suspension and termination. The companion version of House Bill 2194 is still advancing through the Senate. State Veterans Cemeteries. One lawmaker has proposed legislation to permit members of the U.S. National Guard and Reserve Forces who have been honorably discharged to be buried at state veteran cemeteries. House Bill 1635, sponsored by State Rep. Jerome Moon, R. Maryville, requires a member of the armed forces to have completed all service obligations, ensures the volunteer state honors all veterans who have served our nation honorably. House Bill 1635 will be considered by the State and Local Committee on March 18th. Hunting for Heroes Act, House Bill 2550, sponsored by House Majority Leader William Lamberth, R. Portland, creates the Tennessee National Guard Sportsman License. The proposed law would entitle a member of the Tennessee National Guard in good standing to qualify for a no-cost sportsman license in the same manner as a resident annual sportsman license. The annual sportsman license is an all-inclusive license valid for hunting, trapping, and sport fishing without any state supplemental licenses or non-quota permits, and allows holders to apply for quota permits at no additional fee. The bill will be heard in the Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee on March 17th. Victims of Communism Day. The House of Representatives this week approved legislation requiring every public and charter school in Tennessee to recognize Victims of Communism Day on November 7th each year. House Bill 2089, sponsored by State Rep. Dennis Powers, R. Jacksboro, requires at least 45 minutes of instruction for students enrolled in world history or geography courses on the hardships faced by victims of communist regimes. If students are not in class on November 7th, the instruction must be provided the next time the class meets. The legislation would take effect in the 2026-27 school year. The companion version of House Bill 2089 is still advancing through the Senate. Civics education. The General Assembly on Monday passed legislation directing public and charter schools to incorporate a civics instructional video outlining our nation's founding principles. House Bill 2395, sponsored by State Rep. Michelle Renault, our Signal Mountain, requires students in grades 6 to 12 to be shown the video once in both middle and high school. The video would explain the meaning of the Declaration of Independence and the religious affiliation and moral beliefs of our nation's founding fathers. It must be historically accurate and free from political stances. House Bill 2395 mandates that the civics instructional video be recommended by the Tennessee Textbook and Instructional Materials Quality Commission and approved by the Tennessee State Board of Education. The bill now heads to Gov. Bill Lee's desk for his signature. It will take effect in the 2027-28 school year. Protecting religious freedom. House Bill 2264, sponsored by State Rep. Greg Martin, R. Hickson, establishes a Class A misdemeanor offense for deliberately interfering with lawful religious services, including trespassing, disruptive demonstrations, or other intentional acts that disturb or obstruct the order and solemnity of a religious gathering. House Bill 2264 now heads to the Judiciary Committee for further consideration. Expanding employee bullying policies. The Education Committee this week advanced legislation to hold school employees, rather than only teachers, accountable for bullying students. House Bill 1733, sponsored by State Rep. Deborah Moody, R. Covington, permits school districts to dismiss or suspend a school employee who is engaged in an act of harassing, intimidating, bullying, or cyberbullying a student. The bill requires school districts to include descriptions of acceptable and prohibited behavior in employee policies. House Bill 1733 is expected to be considered by the Judiciary Committee on March 18th. Tennessee's former First Lady, Martha Sundquist, wife of former Governor Don Sundquist, passed away on Wednesday, March 11th at the age of 88. The former First Lady served the volunteer state from 1995 to 2003. Sundquist was known for her love of nature and was proud to have a Tennessee state forest in Cook County named in her honor. Born in Joliet, Illinois, she lived with her husband in several parts of the state, including Shelbyville, Memphis, Nashville, and Townsend. In 1989, the former First Lady was appointed by President Ronald Reagan to a 3-year term on the United Service Organization's Board of Governors. She will be laid to rest on Saturday, March 21st. Expanding revenue streams for TURA. House Bill 2138, sponsored by Speaker Pro Tempore Pat Marsh, R. Shelbyville, seeks to ensure the financial stability of the Tennessee Wildlife Resources Agency. The TWRA relies primarily on hunting and fishing license revenues as a main source of funding. This legislation would add another funding source by directing 10% of the payments the Tennessee Valley Authority makes to the state to TWRA. The bill has been placed behind the budget and is expected to be taken up for consideration by the Finance, Ways, and Means Subcommittee at a later date. Reducing judicial backlog. The Civil Justice Subcommittee this week advanced legislation to help courts manage growing caseloads and improve efficiency in the criminal justice system. House Bill 2251, sponsored by State Rep. Rusty Grills, R. Newbern, creates a pilot program allowing 10 counties with the highest criminal court caseload to establish criminal magistrate positions. If approved by the county commission, criminal court judges could appoint a magistrate beginning in 2027 to help handle arraignments, initial appearances, setting bonds, issuing warrants, and conducting preliminary hearings. Magistrates would serve for 4-year terms and be paid by the county. House Bill 2251 is expected to be heard in the Judiciary Committee on March 18th. Advocates for human trafficking victims. The Children and Family Affairs Subcommittee advanced legislation to further support children who may be victims of human trafficking. House Bill 2527, sponsored by House Majority Leader William Lamberth, R. Portland, and co-sponsored by State Rep. Mary Littleton, R. Dixon, requires a representative from a nonprofit specializing in combating the commercial sexual exploitation of minors to be present before an initial investigation begins when a case involves suspected child human trafficking. The proposal also requires members of the Tennessee Department of Children's Services Protection Teams to complete 15 hours of annual training on severe child abuse and child sexual abuse. DCS must determine whether abuse allegations are substantiated and report findings to the State Abuse Registry within 90 days or within 180 days for cases involving a child fatality, with one possible 180-day extension if needed. House Bill 2527 is expected to be heard in the Judiciary Committee on March 18th.